the hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Go247 podcast. I'm the senior writer here at the site, Glenn West, joined again by Dylan Sanders, our contributing writer. Dylan, how's it going, man?
It's going good. I'm now to the part where I'm just used to football being back, and I'm ready for it again every week. And I'm just going through the motions until we get college football.
Yep, we're recycling through. I mean, there's pretty much football on every day, or most days for the rest of the year, pretty much. So that's going to be a ton of fun between, obviously some LSU football, some Saints, some.
I'm ready for Tuesday night action. That's the real football. That's where championships are won and lost.
Yep. As we're recording this, we're watching a little bit of Mahomes and Herbert go back and forth. But we're here to obviously talk about LSU and Mississippi State, LSU's first SEC game against for Brian Kelly and his era here to start his tenure at LSU. Big time game for LSU. I think this kind of coming in was a game that both of us kind of circled as a potential under the radar game that LSU really has to be careful of, and certainly Vegas is taking notice because Mississippi State's coming in as 2.5-3 point favorites against LSU. At Death Valley, that hasn't happened since, well, really this whole century. I mean, the last, 22 years or so, that hasn't happened for LSU and Mississippi State. So it's going to be a very interesting matchup, obviously, with the air raid offense coming to town. It's been a kind of a game the last 2 years that has really been a little bit of a thorn on LSU's side. I mean, 2 years ago, Mike Leach and company threw all over LSU. We know the gory details of that one. Last year, LSU was able to break it open pretty early, but Mississippi State made a little bit of a run there at the end to make it interesting. But LSU ultimately walked away with the win last year. And that, kind of leads into this year. Will Rogers, his second year with the program at Mississippi State, running that air raid with Mike Leach. Going to be very, very interesting to watch unfold. Big game, obviously, for LSU secondary. But Dylan, I guess we'll just get started with some of our bigger takeaways throughout the week and talking with Coach Kelly and the players. Just what are a few things that, I guess, piqued your interest the first, 3 or 4 days that we've had a chance to talk with those guys?
It's clear that the number one word going around right now that locker room is discipline. At least on the defensive side, that's who I've talked to the most this week, is just they know the challenge that lies ahead, and they cannot be making any stupid mistakes. They have to be disciplined. They have to execute the game plan to perfection if they want a chance to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think one of the biggest things that I've taken away this whole week is just how much emphasis is going to have to be on offense and defense playing a really complementary game of football. That's something that Coach Kelly's mentioned a number of times this week when we've spoken to him. When you're facing a unique offense like this, where it's going to be throwing the ball 50, 60 times, even you want to keep that offense, that unit off the field as much as possible. And I think it's going to be very, very important for LSU to go out there, try to establish the run early, get some slow, methodical drives going early in this game, and just kind of make it a battle of the time of possession. I think is going to be really, really huge for LSU. We know, Mississippi State's going to want to play up tempo. They're going to want to go after LSU's secondary as much as they can, and it's going to be on the offense. I think it's going to be on this running back unit. that's now welcoming back John Emery for the first time in 2 years. That'll be very, very fun to watch to see how many touches he's able to get and what kind of impact he can have. But it's going to be really important, I think, offensively for you to be very efficient, be disciplined, all those words that we've been throwing around really the last several weeks. But, you know, offensively, I guess, you know, what are you really looking at in this for this team in terms of, you know, playing a good complementary game of football and keeping, you know, Mississippi State on the sidelines?
Yeah, well, you mentioned about how the defense needs to get Mississippi State off the field as fast as possible, but the offense needs to stay on the field as long as possible. This is really a time of possession game. The first 2 weeks of the season, Mississippi State has dominated the time of possession. They play quick, but they really draw out their drives. Memphis, I think the stat was they had the ball a little under 7 minutes in the first half. Which it's hard to get anything done if you're only on the field a third of the time that's available to you. So like, well, less than a third. It's about controlling the momentum of the game, controlling time of possession is like the number one thing, in my opinion. Drawing out your drives, hit you for 40 completions on 60 throws if you don't allow them to get 60 throws in the game. Like it's controlling your possessions and not turning the ball over, which to Jaden Daniels' credit, he has not shown that he has been prone to over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, I think that's been a real sign of progression for Jaden. He kind of had that problem a little bit last year at Arizona State, where he was kind of turning the ball over as much as he was producing, and that was certainly an issue for him. But definitely has turned it around here these first 2 weeks. I think this is going to be the big test, though, in terms of just what you're going to see throughout the rest of the season in the SEC. You're going to be seeing some very similar players on both sides of the ball in terms of athlete, in terms of talent. And it's going to be very important, I think, for LSU to get off to a really fast start, which is something that they didn't do 2 weeks ago against Florida State. But
it's kind of like an opportunity to reset the narrative. Right. If you lose the game, it's not the end of the world, because Mississippi State is a really talented team. They're not ranked, though they probably should be. If you like look everywhere, like analytically, they're one of the top 10 teams in the country. It's just they haven't been known over the past couple of years to be great, so they don't get the benefit of the doubt for voters. But I mean, Vegas knows. They're obviously favored at home. Like, this is a really good game. This is a game that you probably would be expected to lose, just from an unbiased standpoint. Like, if you asked a third party, they probably say, yeah, Mississippi State should win that game. So if you now go ahead and you lost a game that you were supposed to win at the beginning of the year, now if you steal one at home, then you go into you're playing New Mexico. New Mexico or New Mexico State, but it is just New Mexico. You play them, and then you go to an Auburn team who has not looked great to start the season, and that gives you an opportunity to all of a sudden be 4-1 about to play Tennessee. Like, this is a really big chance to change the momentum. But if you lose, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I think Coach Kelly was asked this, and it was a pretty good question that I can't remember who asked it. But on Monday, he was asked, like, do you think this can be one of those games where you can start to change the narrative about this program and terms of getting it back on the right track? And his answer was pretty much coach speak. You know, he said, you know, we got to focus on this one game at a time kind of deal. But I do think that, you know, just for us as media and – you know, as outside fans, you know, looking in at the program, this is one of those games where you can look back to, I think, at the end of the season, and whether LSU wins or loses, you can point to as either a sign of growth or a sign that maybe you still got a little bit more work to do than you think. So
I think it also says something about the state of the program, where we're looking at the Mississippi State game as the the tone setter for the season. It's not just not something that you're used to with this program, but it's just where they are right now. That's where the expectation level is, battle with Mississippi State.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. LSU's pretty much dominated this series really forever. I think they have over 40 more wins in this series dating back on their over 100-year history. So
they have they've won they're like 19-3, I think, this century. So
they've been pretty consistent against the Bulldogs for sure. You know, just another thing that I think is really kind of important to point out here. I think LSU kind of comes in and this is going to be a really interesting game. I would say just defensively from the standpoint of just, you want to kind of establish yourself. You want to try to find somewhat of an identity. That Florida State game, I think kind of, you had some good moments in that first game, on both sides of the ball really, but defensively, you certainly looked at LSU and thought that might have been a tired unit towards the end of that game. And this game against Mississippi State is really going to test that, I think, for the secondary, for the linebackers, for the defensive line. This is going to be kind of one of your big tests defensively, really the whole season, not only just because of the uniqueness that Mississippi State comes with, but that, like you said, they're talented. They have a lot of talent riddled throughout that roster. And I think it's going to be really a big statement type game for LSU's defense. And that's kind of the message we got from Mekhi Garner. It's kind of the message we got from Savion Jones when we spoke with him. They're not taking this team lightly at all. They understand that they've got a big task ahead of them. And I'm going to be very, very interested to see how this defense comes out and plays.
Yeah, and you look at LSU's personnel and – this game kind of does fit the people who they have on defense, at least a little. You have Mekhi Garner, who's going to be, who has the size and strength ability to be able to knock receivers off the line of scrimmage, slow down at least one receiver. You have Jaquelin Roy, who is a phenomenal pass rusher, who you're going to need to come through and pressure the quarterback. You have B.J. Ojulari, who is versatile. You can use him, as they've shown at least all through fall camp, in that jack role to either rush or drop back in coverage. And really, the shining star of last week gets to roll right into this one with a huge responsibility of Micah Baskerville, who is the best coverage corner on this coverage linebacker on this team.
Yeah, I asked about Micah again today with Coach Kelly, and he said he's going to have an enhanced role this week. They need that athleticism, they need that speed, that coverage ability. He played well against Mississippi State last year. I can't remember exactly what his stats were, but I remember he had a couple really big standout plays. It's going to be, look, what you know about Mississippi State is we've kind of touched on it a little bit. They're going to play up tempo. But what they do is they do a lot of quick hitters. They go for a lot of the, 5, 6, 7 yard plays and just constantly moving the sticks, which is going to be very important for LSU in terms of just trying to get off the field. I think that's the biggest thing.
You can't allow them to have these like 15 play drives that they like to have. The 15 plays, 70 yards, and. Yeah. 7 minutes come off the clock. That's just not something that can happen. I don't know if this team even has the durability to do that.
No, I don't think so, because Florida State had a couple of those drives where just LSU could not get off the field on third down. And it's going to be really important for that third down defense to be a lot better than it was 2 weeks ago. I mean, last week was last week. You didn't really get much, I don't think, in terms of what you could learn about this defense or about this team last week. But you've got to show some improvement from that week one performance if you want to have a chance at slowing down this offense.
The message board was already ready to break out the third in house after one game.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we got some passionate message boarders, that's for sure. So I think we should probably touch maybe on a couple of injuries. It sounds like LSU is going to be as healthy as possible heading into this game. Especially in the secondary, Coach Kelly mentioned it earlier this week. It's got to be all hands on deck, and so we asked him again today, just about Seven Banks and about Colby Richardson. Both of those guys are going to be playing. They're going to be in the rotation. Sounds like the true freshman Quincy Wiggins is going to make his debut on special teams. He has been dealing with a little bit of a Lisfranc sprain. When you talk about LSU and the Lisfranc injuries last year or so, it's been pretty crazy. Just all the guys that have had that injury, starting with Stingley last year. That was pretty crazy.
Can never hear the words Lisfranc again, and it would be too soon.
Yep. That's been kind of how it's been the last year or so. But he'll play primarily on special teams. They want to ease him back into it. Same thing with John Emery, the running back. I wouldn't expect a huge workload for John in this first game back. We hadn't played in competitive action since 2020. I mean, you got to get those in-game reps back. I mean, you can simulate it as much in practice as you can, but until you're out there on the field and you're getting hit for real by some of these guys on other teams, you've really got to be careful with how many touches you're giving him. But I would love
to see Emery. It's worth to note that he did practice with the team all last season as well.
So he's
been practicing every week that he's been on the team. It's just he needs that, as you were saying, he just needs the lab reps. But yeah, go ahead.
I agree. And just kind of building on that a little bit, I would love to see him get some red zone touches. If you're gonna use him, I would use him in situations where you feel like he can be effective. And he's got rare talent. He's got really good talent that we haven't had the chance to see in quite some time. So if you can get him a few red zone touches, maybe down by the goal line, he's a big physical back. I mean, we've seen it. He can really do some damage down there. And I think it's going to be, I'm just going to be really interested to see how LSU decides to use him. But we can kind of turn to some predictions here in a little while. We'll touch on a couple SEC games, but just for you, Dylan, is there anything else that maybe you wanted to talk about in an interesting matchup that you're really looking at, a player or two that you really feel like is going to stand out in this game? I know you've been working on a Florida State piece just on some players that you are, I'm sorry, not Florida State, a Mississippi State piece in terms of players you want to really highlight that could be guys to really look out for, anybody that kind of stands out to you.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
What doesn't need to be lost in the conversation of Mississippi State's high octane passing offense is that they have some running backs, and they're running now more than ever this year. And Brian Kelly mentioned it during his radio show that if the looks are there, they expect Mississippi State to run. And they have two really, really, really talented running backs, both in the running game and in the receiving game. So just keep an eye on Dylan Johnson and Jaquavius Marks as two guys. And Dylan Johnson's the guy that I highlighted in the article just because he has really surprised. He's taken a big jump. And he's looked really, really good so far this season. And then on the defensive side, I'd say maybe Emmanuel Forbes is one of their best defensive backs. And then Jet Johnson as the linebacker, some really good guys. But yeah, this team is full of able to throw different looks. They have a bunch of different types of players on offense. They have every type of wide receiver you could have, multiple running backs. They have all kinds of veteran defenders. Like, this is just a solid, well put together team.
Yeah, I mean, they run a 3-3-5 defense too, which means that they're putting some pretty athletic linebackers out there on the field. They can do some different things with them in the middle of the field. But, having only three down linemen, I think, gives LSU a little bit of an advantage if they want to try to get the run game going early. I think that's a good way to kind of throw a Mississippi State, kind of off its game plan if you're able to get the run game going early and able to get into that second unit or second you know, level of defense and letting those running backs make a few plays for you. So, yeah, it's going to be it's just going to be a really, I think, telltale sign for this program of just kind of where they're at, you know, how far they need to go, where, you know, where there's some strengths, where there's some weaknesses. You know, I was listening a little bit to Coach Kelly's, interview with Chris Blair at the TJ Ribs, and you know, he talked about, you know, depth at offensive line still being an issue. I mean, we kind of heard throughout the entire fall just how, I guess, pleased he was the right word. I can't really think of another word other than that about some of the depth at the O-line. And then, you know, flash forward 2 weeks into the season, and you know, that's kind of a concern right now for them as a coaching staff. So they've got to get those guys coached up, get them developed, and you know, certainly hit the recruiting trail hard with those guys. But you know, I think we could probably move on now. There's probably some SEC games that we want to touch on. There are a few that we were talking to him about before we hopped on the pod, but certainly Texas A&M is going to be a big one. They're taking on Miami, if that's correct, right? It's Miami.
Yep.
Yeah. That's going to be a big one. Alabama
game following LSU, Mississippi State.
Yeah. So that'll be a late night game for sure. Penn State, Auburn is going to be one. It's going to be fun to watch. You know, top 25 Penn State team taking on an Auburn team, like Dylan said, has struggled a little bit. And then, you know, Alabama, Louisiana, Monroe. We expecting an upset this week in that department? I mean, it's happened before.
You know, good things happen in groups of threes, but right. Also bad things. But so it depends on who you look at. But, you know, Alabama, UL Monroe, they're, you know, it's upset alert. I'm saying it right now.
Yeah.
History repeats itself.
I'm sure most LSU fans know this already, but one of Saban's first losses or of his career at Alabama was to a UL.
I think it was the first game.
It might have been. I can't remember exactly, but
I'm pretty sure it was his first game, which also means that Alabama could just drop 90 on him coming off of a terrible performance against Texas. And then now a revenge game against UL Monroe for Saban.
I've listened to a little bit of Saban's comments this week, and he has made sure that his team is not going to be taking this team lightly. So he said some pretty scary quotes in there. If I'm UL Monroe, to be quite honest with you, but
they're favored by 49.5. Are you taking UL Monroe plus the points?
I would probably lend to say yeah, UL Monroe the points on that one.
Wow.
50 points. I mean, geez, that's pretty crazy, but yeah, I mean, look, I mean, and that kind of game, you know, just speaking on Saban, you know, in Alabama, I mean, when you're losing that kind of game in your first year, I mean, you look at LSU and you got a narrow loss to Florida State and a blowout win over Southern to start off the thing. You know, I guess there could be worse times, you know, in terms of,
you know, yeah, the past couple of weeks have really put LSU's season into perspective. It could be going a lot worse.
You could be year four or five into Jimbo in Aggie land and losing to Georgia Southern. I mean, it's
App State.
That's right. Who lost to Georgia Southern? I can't remember who lost.
Nebraska lost. Dude, last week was crazy. All I'm saying is LSU wasn't part of that, and everyone, you know, we've just moved on. The narrative has kind of passed LSU up. Everyone else is looking way worse.
Yeah, that's true. It's going to be kind of an unpredictable conference, I think, this year in the SEC.
But yeah, like speaking of Texas A&M, that Miami game's worth a little bit closer of a look, because if they lose that game, we've already seen there was a 5-star running back who has already canceled his visit to Texas A&M. After they lost to App State, and then all of the Yell Leader videos came out. And then they were like trying to get people banned for showing them, which only made people share them even more. it's rough over there for Jimbo and the Aggie. So as much as this is a must win game, Miami's looking good. Like, they're looking solid, but
and then, I mean, they're
a couple games into the season. Yeah.
And Miami's one of those teams that LSU is going to be directly recruiting against in Florida for the next several years. I mean, Cristobal is come in and done a really nice job so far with that program. They've really hit the recruiting trail hard, and Miami had a really nice summer in terms of recruiting. And everybody knows LSU has had a pretty good track record of recruiting that state. You know, even just looking at this year, Jalen Brown,
Jalen Brown's the name to watch.
Yeah. I mean, he's been on that campus, I think, or is planning to be on that campus in the next couple weeks. So, it's going to be an important game to look at. Penn State Auburn, I think, would be interesting just from the fact that LSU plays them in a couple weeks. They play Auburn in a couple weeks, and you want to get another good. What's that?
Yeah, the quarterback situation there is still up. Is it going to be Robbie Ashford or TJ Finley? It's looking like they're sticking with TJ Finley, but he has not looked great to start the season.
No. I mean, the whole offseason really was whether or not Auburn was just going to bite the bullet with Harsin and move on.
It's seeming like that should be the case, because I feel like all the talk is that either way at the end of the season, if they surprise, Brian Harsin's going somewhere else, or Auburn is going to fire him if they don't do well. So it sounds like it's a disaster waiting to happen, and it's really just hurting them right now because I think they're last in the SEC in recruiting.
Which is just insane.
Not
a good look in Auburn. Nope. I'll be making my plans in the next couple weeks. Hopefully get a chance to go up there and at least check out their stadium. I mean, that might be nice, and check out a game. But we'll have more details on that later. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on SEC wise, or do you want to break into predictions?
I think just looking around, there's nothing else that really catches my eye in terms of other stuff. Yeah. Maybe Ole Miss, maybe Georgia Tech surprises Ole Miss, because that's one, you know, this Ole Miss team, I really don't know where to go with them right now.
Yeah. I mean, Florida, South Florida too, maybe an in-state. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talk about the West being wide open right now in the SEC. Yeah. And I would still put Alabama until they show that it is an actual problem, because, I mean, everyone slips up. Everyone's human. Everyone bleeds. So one bad game against a competent Texas team is okay. Now, if it starts to become an issue, that's whenever it really becomes a problem. But as with Alabama, it probably won't be, and they'll probably be fine. But that second place for now is wide open.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a lot of the talk kind of heading into the year was, who's the third best team in the SEC behind Bama and Georgia? If I had to put a vote on it right now, I'd say Arkansas is looking pretty good. I mean, you know, they seem to be really going in the right direction under Sam Pittman, but LSU will have a chance at them later on this year as well. So, I guess with that, we can do a few predictions here. We put out that piece every Friday in terms of our predictions, what we're thinking for the LSU game. I've said it. I think this is going to be really, incumbent on the LSU offense to be able to hold on to the ball and drag this thing out. I think they've been very efficient so far with Jaden and with the way they've kind of moved the sticks. I think they found something against Florida State. But I also think that the defense is still very much a work in progress, especially in that secondary. I think you could certainly see a situation where there's some lack in communication there. There's possibly some big plays given up. I have Mississippi State winning this game by 3 points. I got it a 34-31 game. I don't think I'm kind of, going out on a limb there. I think most of the media members that I've spoken with and most of the people that I've talked with, believe that this is going to be a tough game. You got to have all your ducks in a row in order to be competitive against this team. And, I think LSU makes some strides. They show that they're at least, going to be competitive in the conference. But I think ultimately it's going to be probably a Bulldogs win. But what are you thinking in terms of the game?
I'm not too far off. It's, again, I think that this is a game that LSU could win, but that they shouldn't win. Yeah. Being at home obviously helps a ton. But I don't feel like, as opposed to Mississippi State, this, we know what this team is going to be, and it's going to be solid. There's a lot less room for error for them. LSU, there's a ton of room for error. So when it comes to a prediction, it's like, okay, I could, there's a path where they win this game by a lot. There's a path where they obviously have shown in the past can give up 700 yards through the air, which I don't think that's going to happen again. Just because it seems like Brian Kelly knows that you're allowed to switch defenses in the middle of the game and be a little bit more creative, as that staff apparently didn't. I'm thinking right now it'll probably be, I've been going back and forth in my head. Right now I would go 31-24 Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Going State plus the points.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be very, you know, it's just going to be a telltale sign, I think, of where this program is. I think we're going to have a good indication of kind of where the improvements need to happen, where, you know, LSU might feel they're stronger in some areas than others. I think all that will be on display on Saturday afternoon. But still got some time before the game. Get your last-minute predictions in. Get your last-minute bets in. You know, that's something we can do now down here in Louisiana. That's not something I have practiced yet. I'm too stingy with my money. But are you a big gambling guy, Dylan? You big on the sports betting?
I like the idea more than the practice. I have done it. And it does feel great. Like, I had a parlay last year during the NFL playoffs, whenever they right when they first started it. And it was contingent on the Bengals beating the Chiefs. I just did it as a joke, and then they actually did it. So that just elated, elevated the feeling that game gave me.
Yeah,
it was awesome. And for anyone familiar with the NOLA food scene, I was at Blue Oak Barbecue while it happened. So it was really just the greatest day of my life. So I do like it, and I like the idea behind it. But like you said, hey, I'm still in college. I'm stingy with my money. I'm not throwing bands around off of Austin Eckler getting 50 rushing yards.
Smart man, Dylan. All right. Well, listen, we'll get you guys out of here. As always, make sure you guys are liking the YouTube video. You're subscribing to YouTube and wherever you guys get your podcasts, information. You know, with that, you know, we'll speak to you guys after the game on Sunday. But with that, I'm Glenn West. He's Dylan Sanders, and we'll catch you guys next time.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.